Sin, he frees us, headed for glory, land of God. Some people got talents, just not me. I'm telling you, Charlene knows. There's one thing I'll give her credit for. Just one thing. Just keep that in mind. One thing. Well, I know I'll get in trouble. But whenever it was low in the choir and she figured to raise it up, I ain't figured it out. She knows what some of our peaks are. You know how high we can do it. And I ain't figured out how she knows her own, but she knows a lot of us. How we are. And if we're not comfortable singing, she'll change it and won't even tell you, and then she just tells Larry and everybody else follows along. But that's a hidden talent. I don't know A from G. I couldn't tell you none of it, but I sure enjoy singing. There was one song we sung up there, Roscoe. I didn't have a chance to look with my eyes on what his last name, but Roscoe did some good words in a song. Man, they some good songs we sing. I mean, got good words to it. I mean, just love it. Whew. It was some good singing tonight. Now I'm hoarse as a horse can be, but I sure enjoy doing it. Turn your Bible to the book of John, the 8th chapter. John, the 8th chapter. We had 81 this morning for church, and we had a lot of folks out. And Vernon said we got 18 tonight, so that's a good thing. I ain't counted, but we might miss. Vernon, you may be off just a little bit, but not fur, okay? But I like being in church, and some folks got other things to do, but that's all right. I like being in church, and I appreciate that. Our neighbors that do the whatever you call it that they do, them small group things, they've been having it tough here lately. Christmas holidays has put the quietus to it. They ain't been doing it. So I look for at least four cars there when we get home. At least. Maybe three. But I look for four. I'm hoping for a higher ground for them folks. You know why I'm saying all that? There's nothing There's nothing that takes the place of an altar. Nothing. I mean nothing. You can meet on the side of the road, get you something for an altar. All right? Get you something. I don't care if it's a chair turned around backwards. Get you something for an altar, because there's no sense in going to church unless you give somebody an opportunity to get saved. That's the only reason why we come. We don't know who's going to walk through them doors that God sent. You know how God does that? And when the Lord sends somebody, you just get out of the way and let God work, all right? John, the 8th chapter, I want to begin. This is very unusual reading, very unusual for me to read. And I want you to bear with me just for a little while, not hold you long. In John, the 8th chapter, verse 31, very unusual reading. I hope you studied a lot of this in the past. The Bible said in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." So he's talking to a particular group right now. Just watch. This is kind of, hold on, okay? "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father." And notice that last father was not capitalized. "They answered and said unto him, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus said unto them, 'If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father.' Then said they to him, 'We be not born of fornication.'" That's a little kickback to how he was born. "We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." One more verse. "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." May we pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. God, I need strength that comes from you, and I need, God, direction. And God, the hope of this world is, God, that we might be saved. Those that's lost, those that don't know you. God, those that have never, ever entertained the thought of asking you to come in their heart. I pray you speak to these. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. When Jesus confronts these Jews, when the verse that says he came to his own received him not, we didn't really grasp the impact of what that really means. We all think that God's chosen people at least ought to have an idea about what the scriptures say. If you look at the Old Testament and follow the Old Testament through and start reading it, it was pointing. It was trying to let them know that there's one coming. When it finally came, there was a responsibility of the Jews that were alive. Now, we don't know when we're going to be born. God does, but we don't. We don't know what our responsibilities are, because when we're born in this world, we're going through life, going through a lot of things. We don't know God's plan for us. If we're willing to accept God's plan for us, the more we accept, the more his plan will work in our lives. It's kind of like a little child. You can train up that child. You can work with that child. But unless that child's willing to be saved, your hands are tied. You can't do no more. You can pray. You can read the Bible to them. You can do all the things that you know to do. But when it comes to decision time, salvation belongs to the individual. The Jews were no different. They were introduced. They were told that they were Abraham's seed. They had heard it all their life. They had heard what they had been taught. They had seen it. They'd heard it. They had all the things that's necessary. But no one could make them believe in Jesus. Not one. When he came to his own received him not. Now, when did that happen? When did that happen? When did they all of a sudden say, "Nope, we're not listening to you"? Oh, modern Jews today, modern Jew. Oh, he's a good teacher. You know where they heard that from? Those folks that maybe wrote down some things back in their time frame. They passed it down from generation. Have you heard of Jesus? Oh yeah, he's a good man. But that's as far as they want to leave it. Not started yet, so you just hang on. I want to show you some things. He began to tell them about Abraham. But he began to tell them a truth that they didn't believe. Where we started out, we're in verses 32. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, they didn't grab that. They said, we've never been in bondage. Not to any man. We are not in bondage. And so therefore, the truth can't set us free. We're already free. That's what they were saying. They were saying, listen, your message to us is just like words. It has no meaning to it. Your message to us has no substance, has nothing that my ears hear that makes me want to think. Fact. The truth of the gospel, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that has meat to it. That has substance to it. That has something that if I do this, God's done this. If I do this, I can be saved. Now that has meat to it. What the Jews are hearing from God, they're hearing from the Lord that says this, "The truth shall set you free." The truth. Listen to this.
They were never in bondage, but some of their kinfolks was. They were in bondage. They just didn't know they was in bondage. It was kind of like they had a chain about their neck, but they didn't know they had a chain about their neck. They were slave to sin. They were slave to sin, and the only thing that could set them free was right there standing in front of them. And they couldn't see it, and they couldn't hear it. They heard the words that he said, but they never comprehended one thing that he was really saying. The truth shall set you free. And when we capitalize it, he was saying, look here, the only truth. When you are presenting the gospel message to a lost and dying world, there is no alternative. There is not another option. Oh, if you don't like this church, go the one down the road. Friend, if that same church doesn't preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, if that same church doesn't preach the blood that'll only save you, if it ain't that, it ain't a church at all. Because the blood of Jesus is the only thing that will forgive sin. And friend, there's no alternative. There's no other way man can be saved. So these Jews could not see that hidden chain. They could not feel the bondage that they were in. And as Jesus began to describe unto them their past in Abraham, he had to relay something that they didn't quite understand. Oh, they thought they did. But let me show you characteristics of a person, just characteristics of a person that thinks they're all right. But look how bad off they are. Verses number 40, it says this. But right now, not yesterday, but now ye seek to kill me. Right now, in your mind. Now remember, what does the Lord say about killing somebody? The Lord says you're guilty of murder if what? You commit this in your mind. In your mind, somehow or another, God was working in this right here. He was saying, you folks right here, you're wanting to kill me. Now, somebody that's sitting in the background says, there ain't no way that any of those good Jews believe that they want to kill the Lord. Friend, throughout time, how many folks have said, if I could get that preacher, I'd get that preacher. I can't stand that preacher. All he does is preach against sin. I wish he'd preach something else. There is nothing else. But how many times do we get mad at the preacher? How many times do we get mad at church folks who invite them to church? How many times do we tell folks, hey, listen, this is the way to life and life eternal is through Jesus Christ? And we get mad at them. How many denominations get mad at you because you're telling them what thus saith the Lord and not your opinion, not the Baptist way, but salvation belongs to the Lord. It comes that way. When we deliver the message of God, it makes folks want to kill you. Now, what godly person wants to commit murder? And wait a minute, the Jews, number one, they had commandments, thou shalt not kill. And they had it in their mind, in their heart, and they were looking for ways to do it. In fact, Scripture tells us when it come time for crucifixion, what did they say? Well, we can release this one to you. What are we going to do with this one called Jesus? And what did they say? Crucify him. Kill him. Kill him. There's a characteristic right there that they were not right with God. And I don't think they realized it. Watch. Look at verse number 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. They didn't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They didn't believe that it was possible for that to happen. They closed their mind to God. All things are possible with God. There's not a thing God cannot do. And friend, in this miracle that happened, this thing that happened right there in front of them, they closed their mind and said, it's impossible. guess what? Salvation would be impossible without Jesus. You see, you talking about what that fella that won that, somebody that won that the lottery thing, a billion and a half, whatever money it was, and you say, oh, only one winner. The odds of doing that was astronomical. Friend, I got news for you. For one to get saved without Jesus, that is a drop in the bucket. You cannot be saved without Jesus. You cannot. You can't stand in front of God. The Jews, these right here, said, at least we're not a fornication talking to him. Now, I want to tell you, you ever known somebody that every other word out of their mouth is a cuss word? You ever known somebody like that? I've been around in the military. Anybody's in the military, you're around more of those than not, okay? And if you don't think they'll spout it off, but here's the kicker. The kicker is they cuss and they swear so much and so often, it's not a habit, it's their natural language. Their natural language. They'll spout off a few words and throw in some other words along the way, and they don't think a thing in the world about it. But on many occasions, in my surroundings with them, I would hear some of them say, oh, preacher, I'm so sorry for what I just said. And I'm sure you've been done the same way. Oh, I'm so sorry for what I said. In other words, it took a little bit of recognize who you are to realize that their language, that they can control a little bit of it. But they were in the habit of saying the curse words. Now listen, when these folks mouthed off to God, number one, they wanted to kill him. Number two, they didn't believe in his birth. We could go further, but they had no idea what they were dealing with, but they had no respect for Jesus. None. When I was lost and come through the doors of the church, I respected the church. I'd see folks that get up there behind the pulpit, I'd respect the preacher. I may have gotten a lot of trouble for talking in church, but in reality, you had respect for the preacher. When folks would give a testimony or pray, many times whenever they'd pray, and you'd bow your head even though you was lost. In other words, there's a little part of us while we're lost that would lead us separately from the Jews. Those Jews didn't believe in Jesus Christ, and they put up every barrier possible not to believe in him, not to respect him, not to give him any kind of credit at all, just like he was any other man. Thank God we've been blessed with a different way of life. When we come to church, even lost, well, at least we know it's the house of God. Let me hurry. The next verse, verse 42, I believe it is. Verse 42 says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Gosh. If God were your father, you would love me. How in the world do you get somebody to love you that hates you? How do you do it? How do you get somebody that 2 minutes earlier, they're saying, boy, we'd like to kill you, even though they didn't say it. Oh, you're a bastard and not a son. Oh, they didn't say it. They were just using polite words. And friend, if you were said the same father as you claim you got, you know what? You'd love me. Now, friend, Jesus didn't pull any punches. And I want you to listen to this. We talk about the thief on the cross that Jesus said to him. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, what led up to that was him saying, Lord, remember me. Now that was good. That friend, it don't take a long prayer to get saved. It don't take a long drawn out stuff to get saved. It takes getting a hold of God and Him hearing you. But that other thief had no idea who was on that cross beside him. And that other thief had in his mind, well, if you say you are who you are, get us down too. That's all he wanted. He didn't want a difference. There was no difference. Because, friend, all he was wanting for self. It's easy to love yourself. It's harder to love God. How many folks do you know spend more time in front of the mirror than they spend on their knees? Then you'll figure out who you love. How much time do we spend praising what God has done instead of cursing what God has done? You'll figure out who you love. When the thief on the cross died, he had the same, we don't know exactly, but he had the same amount of time as the other thief did to live. They didn't live very long. They died that day, but however long he had, he still had an opportunity that he could have cried out to God. But wait a minute. The door of opportunity closed for him really quick. Now let's get back to the Jews just one moment. They were not happy with what Jesus was doing, just like the thief on the cross. He was not happy what they were doing. He had no idea what they were doing. Back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were done crossed out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. And you know this. And when they had spent a little time out there, and they had been journeying back and forth and going through the struggles of their journey, they took a little time and said this, oh, to be back over there, to be back over there eating. Look here what we got. Look, they were wishing for bondage time. They didn't say that. They were wishing to live back in slavery. They didn't say that. Here's what it was. They got so used to living in slavery that it was a memorable moment that come back in their heart. My goofy phone, every now and then it'll come up and it'll show some pictures that was a memory. Now, I don't know how they figured that out to say it was in a memory of mine, because the only thing it does is I remember when it took the picture. You know, that's all. But it's trying to portray, oh, that was a wonderful memory. Okay? Now, how do they know it was a wonderful memory? It's a computer picking it out. Watch this. A memory is something that puts some sort of change in your life. You know, they tell me that the mind can actually, when you have a horrifying event, can actually turn off that you won't recall it. They say, according to the scriptures, that when a lady has a child, that pain, somehow or another, God just wipes that part out of memory. Now, I can't tell you all that stuff, but I can say God has a way of taking something bad and turning it into good. The children of Israel were wishing back for the slavery days because they saw no good in where they were going forward, and they were wishing for what was in behind. I'll hurry with this, but I want you to hear this. When Jesus was telling the Jews, "Ye are of your father the devil," he was talking about their past and their present, and if not any change, their future. Now, I got news for you. God speaks in all three directions. I live in the present. I have a future if God lets me live. I don't want to repeat my past. I want to go forward in the direction God wants me to go. Let me give you one more verse, and I promise you we'll quit. Listen to this. Look at verses number 50. Jesus, verse 49 says, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. Listen, verse 50. And I seek not mine own glory. Now he's still talking the same bunch. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Now watch this. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. When he's talking about one that seeks, can I briefly tell you, when the opportunity for salvation comes, when God seeks you, looks for you, we like the verse that says, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But friend, if the Lord didn't open up his heart to your heart and come your direction, I don't know how you'd ever find God. I don't know how you would ever know that he loves you. But he extends an invitation to you. And that invitation, when it comes to you, it doesn't come like a lion. It comes like a lamb. God presents himself to you as a loving God to an old sinner. And when he presents that seeking part, that looking for you part, he doesn't care if you're tied up with a chain around your neck and you don't realize you got a chain around your neck and you don't realize you're in bondage. He comes seeking after you and judgeth. Now, this is the part that you might have a little hesitation, but listen to me. Because if he seeks us, he must judge us. Let me show you this part. True judgment is when you see yourself a sinner. But unless God brings you the sign of righteousness and holiness and godliness that God can bring, you think you're all right in your current condition. But when God shows you that, he shows you the opportunity of what it is to die lost and what it would be to die saved. We're all going to die. But he gives you an opportunity. Here's what we say. I believe, I've said this, and I know I've heard it from others. I believed if I didn't get saved that night, I don't believe I'd be here today. I believe God killed me. I really believed that I wasn't going to live. I really believed. And yet we see tragedy after tragedy. I heard another one today. This young person, 16-year-old, got killed. And I think, goodness gracious. You know, I died sudden, car wreck. We don't know these things, but what we do know is that whenever God seeks you, he'll show you the difference in judgment. He'll show you an opportunity, just like the thief on the cross. When the Lord was up there on that cross and he told that one, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, that other one could have said, can I go too? And you know what? You can go to heaven. You can go to heaven. But you can't go to heaven in your current condition. The only way you go to heaven is through Jesus. Nothing else will get you there. Not a thing. Not religion, not church members, not a thing. Whenever he seeks you, he seeks you through your eyes and says, look here at you, and shows you your sin. And you know, you in your sins will die and go to hell. But Jesus said, would you give them to me? And if you'll come to him, he'll take away all your sins. Those Jews that done all manner of evil against him, the Lord would have saved them, every one. Every one of them. You could hate him one second and love him the next second. You can despise God and curse God every breath, like it's a normal thing for you to do. But a friend of mine, God can save your soul, and the next thing you'll be glorifying and praising God. I ain't figured that out. The only way I can figure it out, God just makes a new creature out of you. That's what the Bible says. Friend, if you're lost, I'd love for you to be saved. I'd love to see you walk down the aisle and kneel in prayer. I'd love for you to know that there's nothing that religion did. I'd love for you to know that there's nothing that family could do. I'd love to know that whenever you went down the aisle, you knew that Jesus was the only way for you to be saved. But that won't happen unless you see yourself lost. Unless you see yourself in that current condition. Because, friend, it's easy to fall into the world's problems and fall in and say, look here, and woe is me. But, friend of mine, Jesus is the reason that we can come here tonight. How about you? Brother Greg, a song of invitation. I don't know your heart or your life, but I know the real reason why we're here. I love Christmas time. Hey, the gifts are just kind of, you know, that's just one of them things. Really don't matter, you know. But what really matters is that story. When we look up there at this little cross that got lit up here, it's not just by chance that was red lights used on that cross. Use those red lights to be just a little symbol of the blood that was shed. Just a little symbol. Just for you to know. I don't have to say it, but if you look up there and you see that red on that, that means that blood was shed. 2,000 years ago, it was shed for you. Oh, it was shed for me, and I accepted it one day. Because my blood wasn't good enough to satisfy the sins. It took the blood of Jesus to satisfy the sins in the eyes of God. And if you want to be saved, you'll come through your blood-stained cross through Jesus Christ. May we stand, and if God's speaking to you, just make your way to an altar. Just make your way, knowing, come brother, anytime, knowing that you can be saved.